Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible.
Let's talk about some of the testing that can be done to assess digestive issues.
And I guess I wouldn't even know that getting tested for digestive issues was important.
And a lot of times it's not necessary. You can pretty much count on diminished digestion that isn't an illness, and you can improve it with some just simple changes in the amount you chew and supplementing the digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid that you might need to assist digestion. You can do a trial of that.
You even said that basically anyone 40s or older, they probably have diminished digestion.
True.
And they should be embarking on healing.
They want robust health. Absolutely, they should.
Okay, so when does testing come into play and what is it?
Well, sometimes people are feeling significantly not well. When I encounter patients like that, I start thinking in the realm of testing, and for a lot of different reasons. And I want to cover some of the testing that we can do. For example, if I'm telling someone, I think you're not digesting well, and they say, well, I don't believe you, and I say, let's see it in your blood, for example. Let's do specialized blood testing, like a serum magnesium, a serum calcium is designed for other purposes. It's not going to tell you what your body magnesium level is like. And what I like to do is red blood cell magnesium, for example, or plasma amino acids, and health professionals that have focused in on this area of assessing, they understand how to do those testing. I wasn't taught this in my traditional medical school.
So we don't need to necessarily know those big terms for those big tests that you're putting out there. What we need to know is what kind of doctor we're going to go to
exactly.
To get it. And you're saying what? That the kinds of doctors that do this are like holistic doctors or alternative doctors?
Nutritionists.
Yeah.
Complementary doctors. And you know, this is not a new thing in the United States. For example, the federal government has been supporting through the National Institutes of Health research into complementary medicine for a long time here now.
Yeah.
And have uncovered a lot of great things. So these people who focused in on this, and I was certainly one of them, these kind of things are well understood. What kind of testing to do, what labs to choose, because you have to go beyond your traditional blood testing labs into labs that have focused in on the functional end of assessing a human being.
Got it.
And then there's tests like, are you having an immune response to the food you're eating? And people with autoimmune illnesses, this is a very important thing to uncover. And there's ways to do this, and you can be guided at doing it in your own home, which is an excellent test, or you can get blood tests to see if you've got antibodies to the food you're eating. This is a big deal.
And people may not know this. They may be having an autoimmune disease, and be unaware that the food that they're eating is contributing to it, that they're allergic to their food.
Yes, and it's the food they're eating, and also there's changes in the intestinal tract which lead to the production of antibodies. So it's a technical subject. We're going to explain this in I Wonder Doctor, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's in the territory of something called leaky gut and immune reactivity to your food and to other things. Also, there's people who have uncomfortable abdomens and even diarrheal type illnesses or constipation type stuff where they need a different stool analysis than the kind the hospitals do. The hospitals are good at picking up epidemic diarrheas like Salmonella and Shigella, for example.
Yeah.
But it takes specialized laboratories. There's not many of them in the United States who they've taken on how do we do a very thorough analysis of stool, both for infections, for changes in the normal bacterial flora content. Also, in being able to detect digestive problems from the stool, you can do so. You see fibers, celery fibers in your food. You see undigested protein in there. This speaks loudly to digestion. You see white blood cells in the stool. You see red blood cells in the stool. You got inflammation going on. This brings on a whole different level of approach to diagnosis and treatment. And then there's these common illnesses that relate to heartburn, for example, where you got an infection of Helicobacter pylori, or you've got ulcers or candida infection of the upper intestinal tract or the lower intestinal tract. These need to be sorted out by specialized testing. And these require rather devoted treatment programs, so you want to get that diagnosis proper. And then there's things where someone's got long-standing or severe heartburn that's not resolving. We want to go to a traditional gastroenterologist who very well may want to put a tube down your esophagus and take a look and even a biopsy And, you know, it sounds daunting, but it's not to them. They do it every single day. You won't feel it. Your insurance will most likely cover it if you have insurance. That's the most important test you can do. Now, I mentioned along the way that you could have diminished acid. Do you really need to test for that? No, there's practical ways to assess that, and we're going to cover that in I Wonder Doctor. But, you know, if you really want to see their numbers, and there are people who like to see the numbers, it helps inspire them to make the changes they need to make. There is a test called the Heidelberg where you actually assess your own gastric acid. What are you going to find out? You got too much acid? Very unlikely. Adults have diminished acids, as we explained very thoroughly in other videos.
Okay, so if I have a to-do list from this one,
yeah,
I think it's something like this. We probably all, if we're 40 or older, have diminished digestion, and I should be concentrating on that. If I've got more significant issues, I need to get tested for how I'm digesting, and that the place that I will go for the majority of this testing is alternative or holistic or those types of doctors.
Exactly.
They're going to know how to do this kind of testing. Mm-hmm. And that also, if I'm having issues maybe around heartburn, it's also important that I go to a gastroenterologist and get this one checked out.
Absolutely.
And I think you ended with saying, I can have my stomach acids tested if I want to, but we probably know the answers. The answers are they are low.
Exactly. Let's continue with digestion and talk about what can go wrong in the small intestine.
Okay, on this journey so far, we started at the mouth, right, chewing. Then we went to the stomach. And then the last thing you were talking about is the upper small intestine. Is that right?
Exactly. And that's where I'd like to pick that up and describe to you the very next thing in detail.
Yeah.
And I want to zero in on this chyme, this bolus of food and its mixture of pancreatic enzymes and bile.
Yeah.
And I want to actually pretend we're going to examine it under a super microscope. And let's look at the protein element of that bolus of food. And really what that is a complex of amino acids linked together by biochemical bonds.
Yeah.
And what excellent digestion does is it breaks up those bonds and leaves you with these teeny tiny amino acids. And what are they confronting? The lining of the intestine, which consists of cells. So I'd like to illustrate that by drawing these cells. And then notice that there's spaces between these cells, and they're tiny spaces, and they're just the perfect size for a fully digested a protein down to its amino acids to slip right on through. And what does it slip into? The bloodstream. And it's distributed to the whole body.
So this is the end of digestion. We've taken that food and we've crushed it to the point where it's small enough to fit through those small openings.
Crushed includes digestion and a lot of factors, of course.
Right.
Now, we've already discussed that there's things that can go wrong with digestion. And here's would be the example. Instead of fully digesting this protein molecule, we partially digested. Well, we've got two little amino acids and they easily slip through.
Yeah.
But we've got this one that didn't disconnect. As that tries to make it through that intercellular space, it gets stuck. It's too big. Well, the body wants to address this abnormality. And what it does is immune factors come out of the bloodstream and attach themselves and complete digestion of that partially digested amino acid complex. Now, that's the immune system finishing off digestion for you.
Yeah.
And if a lot of that goes on, and there's other causes as well, such as infections that we're going to talk about later, you got actual inflammation taking place in the intestinal lining. And what that can do is it can widen these narrow spaces between cells. And what that can lead to is these partially digested protein moieties slipping through into the bloodstream.
That does not sound good.
And it's unacceptable as well.
Yeah.
And a similar process takes place. Some kind of immune factor will attach itself to that partially digested protein moiety and complete digestion. Well, what you're doing is you're using your immune system to finish off digestion. And that's got a couple problems associated with it because we don't want to tie up the immune system that way. We want the immune system to be fully available for viruses and aberrant cells that can be produced. And then also, partially digested food, what's going to happen? Your body's going to register, gee, I didn't get enough something, protein, and you're going to have to graze through more calories. So people, again, who have to mind their weight and their food intake are going to be left with hunger if they don't fully digest those amino acids all the way down. And the immune system part of it leads to something called the widening of the spaces. It's called leaky gut. We're going to cover this because it's a very important topic. It's the topic of food allergies, and it's the doorway to understanding autoimmune illnesses.
Hmm.
Oh, my goodness. It's a big topic.
Yeah.
And then what do we do about all this? Well, the good news is it's that simple list of we choose natural foods that are easy to process. We don't subject them to harsh processing methods such as manufacturing processes or even pasteurization, which is too intense energy to hit proteins with, and they get abnormal configurations. We can boil or steam our vegetables, and yet when we go to bake or broil, these temperatures are so high it can alter the protein molecules again.
Right. Water can't get above 212 degrees.
That's right.
So boiling can't get hotter than that.
But frying can get a lot hotter than that.
Yeah, right.
And then it's the good old eat a small meal, a meal for which you have sufficient digestive juices. Eat more frequently and more snacks if you need to, just to cover your whole caloric need over a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
Eat slowly. Chew. Chew, chew. And for many, it's going to be supplement digestive enzymes and betaine hydrochloride, which is hydrochloric acid.
And these are things I could buy like at maybe a grocery store or a health food store.
Well, again, we'd like to help you find the highest quality because there's a ton of products out there and some are just not the quality that's going to work for you to spend your money in.
Yeah, right.
So we'll teach you how to find the right ones. As far as digestive enzymes go, we want a mixture of the pancreatic enzymes. And they can be either from vegetable base or animal sources. I like them both. And then for the hydrochloric acid, we want betaine hydrochloride with pepsin, which is a proteolytic enzyme that's linked up with the betaine hydrochloride. We'll teach you how to take them, where to get them.
And you said many people need these. Isn't the basic answer pretty much everybody over 40? I mean, isn't this, we're all...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those with autoimmune illnesses, with food reactivities, food allergies, they really need them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because most adults do not have sufficient digestive enzymes, the amounts that we had when we were teenagers, and we don't have sufficient hydrochloric acid. So to live a long and robust life in which we're getting all the nutrients we need, and we're able to walk and talk and play in our 80s, 90s, and 100s, absolutely, digesting food is a wonderful thing to do.
That makes sense.
Let's talk about the healthy bacteria that live with us in our own intestinal tracts.
This makes me think of yogurt and yogurt commercials.
Yes, and I was first shocked about this way back when I was in medical school.
Yeah.
When I learned that we had about 3.5 pounds of normal bacteria that lived in our intestinal tract, symbiotic with us, was mutually beneficial. And not only that, we needed them, and if we didn't have them, we would get into significant trouble.
So these are little critters living inside of us.
Little bacteria.
Yeah.
In fact, there's about 10 times as many bacterial cells, count number, now they're real tiny, than there are human cells.
Yeah.
And they line our intestinal tract, and they participate in the digestive process. They help digest protein, carbohydrate, and fat. They help process or produce even some of the vitamins. And these are very essential to us for another way as well. They protect us from outside invasion.
Yeah.
Like, think of a topsoil that has nothing growing on it, and you toss a handful of weed seeds on it.
Right.
In a very short period of time, you're going to see a flourishing weed garden out there. But let's say you picture a healthy lawn that's well established.
Yeah.
And you toss some weed seeds on that. They're not going to grow necessarily. You may see no weeds at all.
Right.
Because the grass has its roots in the topsoil. It's already occupying the territory there.
Right.
In fact, I'd even like to illustrate that with you. You remember the intestinal lining cells and the spaces between them.
Yeah.
And what I didn't show you before was there is trillions of bacteria lining those intestinal lining cells. And let's say that we get an invasion from a critter that looks like this, for example, an amoeba.
Yeah.
Well, it wants a food supply, and it's wanting to burrow into those cells. And it can't do it because it can't make its way through this bacterial protection coat. And let's say that you lose that healthy bacteria protection coat. Now you get yeast that are already there, but in small numbers, they're able to overgrow now because they can get access to food now that they couldn't get before. And same with any invaders like some amoebas or parasites or worms, stuff like that. So that's unacceptable, and that's going to call forth the immune system just like it did before. And that denuded intestinal lining is vulnerable to infection, inflammation, leaky gut. It's the doorway to autoimmune illness. We're going to have a lot more to say about this.
Yeah.
Now, what do we do about that? Well, very important. First of all, very often we've got to assess it. And this is not going to be done by your local hospital lab, which is excellent at picking up on epidemics like E. coli or Salmonella. There's only a few labs in the country that do these comprehensive stool and digestive analysis. There's even a lab that does genetic analysis of the bacteria and germs that could be in there. This is how sophisticated this has gotten.
Now, we're not going to be able to find these labs, right? We don't go directly
and
to
you
labs.
And you won't need to. And you need to work through a licensed health professional. This could be through a complementary physician, a nutritionist. There's lots of folks who are tuned into this because it's a common thing that happens to people.
Yeah.
And you can also get a very sophisticated analysis of how well you're digesting things. Now, there's other tests that can be done. For example, if bacteria are living in your stomach or in your upper small intestine where they shouldn't be, they're producing gas out this way.
Yeah.
And that can be measured. You blow into a container and they analyze the off gas there, and they can tell you whether you have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Now, what do you do when you find these? Well, these stool tests, they're able to identify the abnormal critters that are there and also measure them against antibiotics and herbs that could kill them.
So we need to know what's in there that shouldn't be. Then we can know how to get rid of them, what things we can kill them off with.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You need to do a guided regimen to accomplish that.
Yeah.
And there's some dietary changes that are very important then, and we're going to get into this in future videos. And then one of the most significant things that anyone can do is replenish the healthy bacteria. You can pretty much assume that you would benefit by healthy flora. You've heard the word acidophilus, many of you. And there's many more that are very healthy for you. And supplement companies of all varieties, now there's the real excellent quality, there's the lesser quality, and we're going to help steer you towards the very best.
Yeah.
And everyone can benefit by replenishing flora because we've all had an assault on the system. And people have significant compromise there that will be identified by having significant health issues. You're going to really benefit by restoration of the normal, healthy bacterial gut flora.
There's a good chance that basically all of us grown-ups have some sort of imbalance in there, and we could all benefit from improving our little critters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.